Claude Opus 4.7 shipped with a 1M token context window. That's 5 times what Sonnet 4.5 offers. However, this doesn't mean we should no longer be careful with our context window. The lost in the middle problem doesn't disappear at 1M tokens. Content in the center of the window still gets less attention than content at the beginning and end. Opus 4.7 uses a new tokenizer that improves model performance, but it also means files you read consume context in subtly different ratios than before. Anthropic's docs note the new tokenizer can use up to 35% more tokens per equivalent input compared to previous models. And adaptive thinking, now the only supported thinking mode in 4.7, fixed budgets are removed, consumes context dynamically. The model thinks longer on harder problems and shorter on easy ones. That thinking counts against your window. If you're coming from my earlier post on understanding Claude Code's context window, everything there still applies. The fundamentals haven't changed. What has changed is the ceiling and the set of controls available to you. Here are 7 workflow adjustments I've made since Opus 4.7 dropped. Each one addresses a specific constraint I hit in daily production use. Front load context in your first turn. One of the big changes from Opus 4.6 to Opus 4.7 is that it no longer reads between the lines. Opus 4.6 was better at taking a vague prompt and figuring it out. Opus 4.7, however, no longer does this. You need to provide good context to the model to achieve good results. The first message in the session anchors everything that follows. Structure your first turn to include 3 things: what you want and why, which files or areas of the code base are relevant, and what done looks like. Here's an example. Instead of this, try this. The second version tells Opus 4.7 exactly what to touch, why, and what to leave alone. You define the what and the constraints. Let the model propose the how. One thing to watch for: don't turn your first message into a specification document. If you find yourself writing more than a paragraph or two, you're probably trying to control implementation details that the model should decide. Name the files, the constraints, and the definition of done. Stop there. 2. Switch effort levels. Mid-session. Thinking tokens count against your context window. A single X-high response on a complex problem can use significantly more tokens than the same question at high. Over the course of a session, this adds up fast. Opus 4.7 introduced Chai effort and replaced the old fixed thinking budgets with adaptive thinking. At Chai, the model almost always engages deep reasoning on complex work and skips thinking on simpler tasks. That's useful for architecture decisions, complex debugging, and multi-file refactors. It's overkill for renaming a variable across 20 files. Here's how I handle it. I start sessions at Chai for the initial planning and implementation work. When I shift to mechanical tasks, I drop the effort level, rename the files, run the migration, update the imports. Then, when I need deep analysis again, in practice, you spend the first part of a session at Chai implementing a feature, then need to update some test fixtures and rename a few constants. Drop to high or even medium for that work. When you're ready to debug a failing integration test, go back to Xi. The gotcha here is context switching cost. Don't toggle effort every other message. Batch your mechanical tasks together and run them at a lower effort level in one block. Then switch back for the next piece of deep work. Compact at 60%. Not when you see a warning. Auto compact triggers when your context window is nearly full. By the time that happens with a 1M window, you've been running with degraded output quality for a while. The lost in the middle effect doesn't wait for you to run out of room. It starts affecting responses well before you hit the ceiling. My rule of thumb: check slash context periodically and compact when you hit around 60%. That sounds like a lot to throw away, but consider the flip side. You still have 400K tokens after compacting, which is twice the entire Sonnet 4.5 window. Here's what Osh context output looks like in a session approaching that threshold. After a proactive compact, that's a fresh start with all the important decisions preserved. Much better than letting autocompact fire at capacity and losing coherence. The trade-off with early compaction is that you lose conversational nuance. Specific phrasings, detailed file contents, and turn-by-turn reasoning all get compressed into a summary. This is why tip 4 exists. 4. Steer your compaction. Running compact without guidance lets the model decide what to keep and what to drop. This works reasonably well for short sessions, but in a long session with multiple decisions, the model often drops specifics that matter for the next phase of work. Always pass steering instructions when you compact. Name the topics and the decisions you need preserved. Here are 3 examples from real sessions. Keep your steering to 2 or 3 sentences. Name the topics, not every detail. The model will fill in the specifics from the conversation history. You are giving it a priority list, not writing the summary yourself. 5. Use subagents for context isolation. I covered subagents in detail in my context window post, but Opus 4.7 shifts the default behavior. In my experience, Opus 4.7 spawns fewer subagents on its own compared to earlier models. Anthropic's release notes confirm this as a deliberate behavior change. It's more inclined to do work in line, which means exploration output that used to be isolated now accumulates in your main context. That's fine for focused tasks. It becomes a problem when you need to explore a large area of the codebase or review a significant diff. The fix: explicitly request subagent delegation. The key is scoping what comes back, instead of try good candidates for subagent delegation. Code reviews: the subagent reads every change file, but your main context only gets the summary. Codebase exploration: have a subagent map out how the notification system works across packages gateway and packages DAO agents. Test analysis: spawn a subagent to check which tests cover the payment flow and identify gaps. Pattern audits: use a subagent to find all places we handle errors in root handlers and check for consistency. The gotcha with subagents is that they don't share your conversation history. If you made a decision earlier in the session that affects how the subagent should evaluate something, include that decision in the delegation prompt. The subagent starts fresh. 6. Use rewind to recover from failed approaches. Every failed approach leaves artifacts in your context: the wrong implementation, the correction, the explanation of why it was wrong. With Opus 4.7's literal instruction following, this creates a real problem. The model may anchor on parts of a failed attempt even after you have corrected course, because that failed code is still in the conversation history. The hash rewind command, or double tap escape, rolls back to a previous point in the conversation. This removes the failed approach from context entirely, as if it never happened. Here's when to use rewind versus inline correction. Rewind when the approach is fundamentally wrong. You asked for a webhook handler and got a giant switch statement, but your codebase uses an event routing pattern. Correcting inline means the model has both patterns in context and may blend them. Correct inline when the details need adjustment. The approach is right, but a method name is wrong, or it missed an edge case. The cost of the correction in context is low, and the model benefits from seeing the refinement. A practical example: I asked Claude to implement a notification dispatch system. The first attempt built a synchronous pipeline. My codebase uses BullMQ for async job processing. Rather than explaining why synchronous was wrong and asking it to redo the work, which would leave both approaches in context, I rewound and rephrased: clean context, clear direction, no conflicting signals. One warning: rewind is destructive. If the failed approach contained useful insights, it identified the right files to modify or surfaced a constraint you hadn't considered, note those before rewinding. You can include them in your rephrased prompt. 7. Know when to clear, compact, or continue. Quality degrades gradually in long sessions. You won't see a cliff. Responses get slightly less precise, slightly more generic, slightly more likely to miss constraints you established earlier. A 1M window means sessions can run much longer, which makes the decision of when to stop harder, not easier. Here's the decision framework I use: continue when you're mid-task, below 60% context usage, and working on a single coherent thread. The model has strong recall of recent decisions, and the work is flowing. Compact when you've finished a phase and are starting the next one. You need the architectural decisions, but not the turn-by-turn implementation details. This is where Tip 4's steering instructions matter most. Clear when the next task is unrelated to what you've been doing. Also clear when the model starts repeating itself, when you've already compacted multiple times in the session, or when you've persisted your plan externally, in a todo file, a linear issue, or a claude.dmd update. Start a new session when you need different MCP servers, when you're switching to a different branch, or when you're doing parallel work tree work. Each work tree should get its own session. I covered why in extending Claude code with work trees for true database isolation. The full session lifecycle follows a natural arc. Start with a strong first prompt, tip 1. Effort, tip 2. During the working phase, delegate exploration to subagents, tip 5, and rewind failed approaches, tip 6. When you hit around 60% context, compact proactively, tip 3, with steering instructions, tip 4. Then decide whether to continue, clear, or start fresh, tip 7. The mental model. The 1M context window isn't 5 times more room, it's 5 times more rope. With a 200K window, context pressure forced discipline. You had to be deliberate about what went into the window because you would run out. With 1M tokens, poor habits go unnoticed much longer before the consequences show up. That makes discipline harder, not easier. The one principle behind all 7 tips: active context management beats passive accumulation. Front load your intent. Control your effort levels. Compact before you need to. Steer the compaction. Isolate expensive exploration. Remove dead ends. Know when to stop. These aren't theoretical suggestions. They're the adjustments I've made in my own workflow over the past week of daily Opus 4.7 usage. It rewards precision and punishes ambiguity. Give it clear context, and it delivers. If this post was the explanation, the cheat sheet is the reference. Two sides: token costs for common MCPs on one, the clear, compact, subagent decision tree on the other. Get the context window cheat sheet. Further reading. Understanding Claude Code's context window. How I use Claude Code. My complete development workflow. Extending Claude Code with work trees for true database isolation. Anthropic. Best practices for using Claude Opus 4.7 with Claude Code